Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. And usually we talk about things like less toxic products that you can buy, how to make things yourself, what toxic chemicals, where you find them, and what they do to your health. But today we're going to take a little different spin on it. Yesterday was Earth Day. Yesterday we did a fabulous show about Rachel Carson, who is the author of Silent Spring, which was, I think, the first environmental book that was really written for the general public. And it was also the first book to talk about toxic chemicals and how they affected the environment and how they affect our health. And during the interview, one of the things that one of my guests said, because I had two guests yesterday, one of the things one of the guests said was that Rachel Carson's view was that we really needed to get back to living in harmony with nature, and that that was the solution to the problem of toxics. Now, I was very happy to hear that because I figured that out a long time ago, and I've been writing about that a lot, kind of over on the side, because most people would like to know how to clean their house without toxic chemicals or something like that. But for me, the real solution is to regain our awareness that we do live in the natural world. The natural world is out there, providing all the resources that flow through our industrial system and end up to us as consumer products. But we're so busy looking at consumer products that we don't see the trace it back through the industrial system all the way back to the earth. If we don't take care of our environment, we don't have natural resources to make those consumer products. And the first step to taking care of the environment, as far as I can tell, is just to be aware that it's there. And this is what we're talking about today. My guest is Marcy Cuff. She's the author of a wonderful book called This Book Was a Tree, Ideas, Adventures, and Inspirations for Rediscovering the Natural World. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I'm so happy to have you on today because this is one of my favorite subjects. It was the way that I think that everybody, as you say, is disconnected from nature, and that those of us who are now reconnected had an aha moment. And for me, it was that I just kept looking for something that was less toxic and less toxic and less toxic. And I finally kind of looked around and said, wait a minute, nature is not toxic. And I started, and I moved from the city. I was living in San Francisco in the city. I moved out into a forest, and I actually lived in a forest in a very rural area for 2 years. And that really changed my viewpoint about everything. So tell us, I know you're a science teacher, how did you become interested in the natural world?
Well, I spent a lot of time when I was a kid in the woods, and when I got a little older, I worked as a field assistant for many years for mm-hmm. professors, and I was in college, and I was lucky, actually, before I got to college, I took a course called School for Field Studies, and that got me some background. And then when I got into college, I was hired as a field assistant during the summers to collect data for professors. And so I spent a lot of time with different jobs in the woods and in Jamaica studying fish, and in Virginia studying birds, and spent a lot of time on trails. And then I went into graduate school in Alaska, so I spent a couple of years there in graduate school, and lived in a cabin for a few years, very isolated, and did my field work in a very isolated area on the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. And then I finished. Then I came back to the East Coast, and I taught high school and middle school biology and environmental science. And then when I had my two girls, then I stopped teaching and I started running, I got a grant and started running their grade school garden. So I started a program and then kind of worked, coordinated with the teachers and developed a curriculum based on the New York State standards, and So I did that for several years, and then I started a blog along the way. I started a blog called Mossy, and the blog was originally just documenting projects that I worked on with my kids. So I would kind of document different hands-on nature projects, like felting and things that we were doing outside. And so I got a little bit of a following, mostly homeschool parents and Montessori schools, and and then I was approached to write a book. So I started writing a book proposal, and that's where the book came along.
Well, it's a wonderful book, and I, one of the things that attracted me to it and why I wanted to invite you to be on the show is I love the title, This Book Was a Tree, because I remember a time, and this was way back in 1987 when I first became aware of nature, but I remember a day where I suddenly went, my desk came from a tree. I was looking at the grain in the wood and I went, wait a minute, this was a tree. And then I looked and I had a coffee mug on my desk and I said, wait a minute, that's clay out of the earth. And this is, and I just like was looking all over my desk, this pencil, this is wood, this came from a tree. And I just started looking at everything. And instead of seeing it as a consumer product, I saw it as a natural resource. And I saw that there were all these living things that had been turned into consumer products. And I think that it was a revelation for me to see that, because I, like most consumers, prior to this, I would just see something. I mean, I thought soup came out of cans, you know, things like that. My ex-husband, now he's a very intelligent man and knows a lot of things. And when I met him, he didn't know where spaghetti came from. And so talk about disconnects. I mean, we really don't even know where the things that we're using every day actually come from.
Yeah, I think that we have become progressively isolated from what's outside. And so a lot of time we spend so much time in front of a screen and inside that we kind of forget where things come from. So it is amazing. You know, I work with kids at the grade school garden, and before that, kids in the city. And a lot of times I'll have kids in the garden, and they have never, ever held a worm before. And, you know, I used to live in the city, but now I live outside the city, New York City, and we don't live, you know, I mean, easily we could be outside, and, you know, it's not like we have a city around us all the time. We could be outside digging in the dirt. And a lot of these kids have actually never really gotten their hands dirty. So, I guess I've worked with kids a lot, but I think the book is, the book that I wrote is actually, I mean, kids can read it, but it's more of a grown-up book. It's a book on how to kind of get yourself and your family outside and set a good example and become aware of change that's happening around us. And there are things that are going on that we might not even realize. You know, we drive around, and honestly, there are a lot of things that I see that, because my, I guess my eyes might be trained a little differently because my background in the sciences, in environmental science, I see invasive plants and invasive species that that people might not recognize if they're not kind of tuned into it. And so I think it's important for us to just spend time out there and get become aware of things that are around us.
I completely agree. And we need to go to break soon, but I wanted to just mention that I actually have two copies of your book, and so we're going to give one away today. And so I'd just like to invite my listeners, if you are interested in getting a free copy of Marcy's book, you can just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and scroll down the page, and there's a contact form. If you just send me an email and just say that you're interested in getting the book, I will choose one person at random at the end of the show, and you'll get to have a free book. We actually do need to go to break in about 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Marcy Cuff. She's the author of This Book Was a Tree. And when we come back, we're going to learn a lot more about how you and your family can go out into nature and learn something about the natural world. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Marcy Cuff. She's the author of This Book Was a Tree, Ideas, Adventures, and Inspirations for Rediscovering the Natural World. She has a website at marcycuff.com. You can learn more about the book, but she also has a blog. It's called Mossy, but the URL is mossymossy.com. I went to mossy.com. It was a car dealer. So go to mossymossy.com. So I wanted to tell you that you were talking about seeing the world with different eyes, and I had that experience too many years ago when I had this big breakthrough about discovering the natural world, and immediately after that I met my husband-to-be, who was very, very nature-oriented. And I remember one day we were walking down the street in San Francisco, and in downtown San Francisco in the Financial District, which is like New York, it's skyscrapers. And you can't even see the sky. And it's just all concrete. And he said, "Oh, look at that bird nest." This is when I was just getting to know him. He says, "Look at that bird nest." And I couldn't see a bird nest. And he pointed to it, and it was way up, like on the third or fourth floor on a skyscraper, on a ledge. There was a bird nest, and there was a bird in it. Mm-hmm. And what I realized out of that was that I was walking down the street, and all of my attention was on looking in the store windows. And all of his attention was on he was looking at nature. I was looking at industrial consumerism. And when he said that, when he showed me the bird nest, I suddenly realized that the wind was blowing on my face, and I could actually be aware that it was blowing on my face. I could perceive the temperature that was going on. I noticed that there were flowers in flower boxes and trees planted in boxes. And suddenly I could see nature that a minute before I couldn't see it, but my awareness shifted. And I think that that's a big thing that needs to happen in our culture, is we need to, there's nature all around us. We're part of nature. I mean, I consider myself as a human species to be as much part of nature as a tree. It's not something separate from me. But we are separated from the natural world in our culture today. And that's the point of this book. And it's just such a great book. I'd like to just start at the beginning. You have chapter one is about creating. So can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. Chapter one is, well, I guess the importance of chapter one, I think, is to kind of realize that all of us have a creative side, even grown-ups. If you've forgotten how to be creative, it's so important to kind of slow yourself down and kind of get in touch with that part of yourself.
Yeah.
So with chapter one, each chapter is kind of set, introduces a main project. And so chapter one, the main project in chapter one is to take a hardcover old book that has been, that really is unloved and will not be ever used, and then to remove the pages and then put your own journal pages in and make it into a nature junk journal. So it's kind of a neat project because you're taking that part of you and you're putting it inside a book, and you can add different things to it as you step outside. And so it's kind of a nice creative project to work on.
I love that you're encouraging people to be creative, because that's another thing that, I mean, I consider creativity to be part of our natural ability as human beings. And yet what we do is we turn our creativity over to multinational corporations and have them create everything for us, and then we go buy it. And so I think creativity is a really, really important thing to be bringing back. So once they make their journal, then what kind of things do you suggest that they, what kind of projects do you have them do so that they put something in the journal about their experience?
Oh, okay. So there are different things that you can put in a journal. You can collect things. You can go outside and make collections, and you can treat it as if you're writing in a journal. You can make lists of different uses for objects, or keep track of things that you see outside, or you can treat it like a regular journal. But you can also add, what I've done with a lot of my journals is I've added envelopes and different kind of collection areas for different things. So you can treat it more like a collection journal. So, you know, we have, I have two girls and who are very active outside kids. And so we have a lot of different types of journals. So, so they all have different uses.
One of the things that I've enjoyed doing is, that I walk around in my neighborhood a lot. And to me, at first I thought, this is boring. I don't want to just walk the same path every day. And so I started taking different tracks, but then I started noticing that as I would walk past the same spot day after day, that it was different, that a plant suddenly would burst into bloom or the color of the leaves would change or things like that. And I it started being, you know, I was doing it for exercise, but it turned into a nature walk. And I would carry my cell phone with me and I would just take photos of different things that I thought were particularly distinct at that time. And that brought me a lot more aware of particularly the plants or the birds, or if I would see an insect or something like that. It just made me more aware while I was getting my exercise. And that's something that could go in a journal, too.
Yes, there's another project that has to do with that, actually, that I have in the book, which is if you collect a stack of paperboard and cut them to all uniform sizes, then you can make what we call a perpetual calendar, and you can put it in an old wooden box, and so you can keep track. You put a date stamp on each little cardboard piece, and so you stack them one behind the other in a cardboard, you know, mine's in a wooden box, but you could use any kind of box and stack them up one behind the other, and then each piece has a different date stamp on it. And so you can reuse this every year. So every day, if something happens outside or around you, you can keep track of when do the raspberries start to ripen, or when do you see, you know, when do you see the first robin appear, or, you know, which is nice because every year, or when does the big snowstorm happen? You know, every year things are different, and it's really important to keep track of all those things that are happening around you.
I've done that, and it's a very interesting thing to do. Like here where I live, in the spring, one of the indicators of spring is the jacaranda trees, and they are just iridescently purple, and you can't miss them. And so I was keeping track of what day did the jacaranda trees burst into bloom. We have to have another break, but we'll be right back. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and I'm talking with Marcy Kupp, author of This Book Was a Tree, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Marcy Kupp, author of This Book Was a Tree. And as I mentioned before, I have an extra copy here, and I'm going to give it away to one of my listeners. So if you'd like to get a copy of the book for free, just go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and scroll down the page to the contact form and send me an email and tell me you'd like your book. And at the end of the hour, after the show's over, I'll pick somebody at random. Marcy, one of the chapters I was really interested in your book is Spend Time Wisely. And you have some projects here about time. And that was one of the first things that when I started looking at nature, I started realizing that nature operates on a different time. And you have a project here about building a sundial. And I happen to live in a house that is oriented exactly north, south, east, west. And where I'm sitting right now is exactly east. And so I see the sun coming up in the morning, and it comes up at different places across my window. And I have a shade, and I have to move the shade over as the sun comes up at different times of year in different places. And so I was very happy to see that you had a chapter on time. So tell us about that.
Well, most of the sundials that you see for purchasing at a you know, nature centers and online, most of them aren't really set to your longitude. So so this project in this chapter, I make it kind of easy. So it's a pretty simple sundial. So you use a template that I put on there, and you determine your latitude coordinates, and then you plug in your latitude, and then you can make the sundial from that. And you make the sundial from a base that's fairly simple. It's just a sliced tree stump. So you just need a couple things, a tree stump and a protractor and a ruler and pencil, and it's a fairly easy project. And based on your latitude, it's pretty easy to set up. So, so it's a pretty simple one that you can just keep in your garden or, you know, outside wherever you want to put.
Yeah, I love, you know, I watched my sundial. I got a sundial and I watched it, and I recognized that we think of hours as being 60 minutes, but if you actually watch them on a sundial, then some hours are 60 and some are 45 and some are 62, and, you know, and that 60 minutes in an hour is just kind of an average of the length of time of an hour. But it's interesting to actually see the difference in the variations in the natural world, rather than have your time perception be the way it's been all kind of standardized. There's a reason for standardized time. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. No, there is something called the equation of time, and you can correct your sundial in minutes. I mean, to be honest, the sundial is probably more accurate than any clock that we have. You know, if you look at nature, I mean, there's a reason, you're right, that we have those, you know, really fancy cutting-edge clocks, but a sundial is very accurate. You can set it to kind of read what you want to. If you use the equation of time, you know, there's a graph that I put in the book that you can kind of reset your sundial so that it kind of reads what your clock would read. But you're right. It's really interesting to look at it and see that.
I'm laughing.
Know,
I'm sorry.
There's differences.
I have to laugh at what you just said. That you can reset your sundial to read what your clock says, because
I know,
the whole
funny.
Point, I'm going to say this and I have to tell you something even funnier. The whole point is to reorient ourselves to the natural world. And
yeah.
So for me, I just noted what is the difference between my sundial and my clock. And I noticed that my clock was standardized and my sundial was different. But the thing I really was laughing about was that the first thing that I became aware of about natural time was the moon cycle, from the dark moon to the full moon, back to the dark moon. And when was that? And I thought, oh, well, how am I going to find out? Let's see. I'll go buy a book.
Oh,
and
so
I did. I went and bought an almanac and I bought a tide guide, you know, so that I could find out when was the
instead of just going outside
and looking in the sky.
Right.
So I've come a long way. I've come a long way. But you really have to, I mean, the moon is not that easy, because at some times in the phase it's there in the night and other times it's there in the day. And you have to understand what that phase is. So there's things to learn about nature. It's so fascinating.
Yeah, it actually is really neat if you use your sundial. You know, if you make a sundial and then you sit there for 10 minutes every day, you know, you kind of, and record observations about what's going on around you. You know, it's kind of nice to kind of train yourself to just sit in one place and just record, you know, just watch time pass. And just, people so rarely do that these days. You know, we're moving so fast and we're trained to kind of, you know, have tons of things on our plates. And you know, just sitting there outside for 10 minutes and without interpreting things or comparing things or, you know, just looking at things straight at the world and you know, it's important to do that, just to take the time and actually see what's going on around you.
And you can watch time pass on the sundial, because when you're looking at a clock, what you're looking at is the hands moving, and when you look at a sundial, what you're looking at is the earth moving.
I mean, if you don't want to make a sundial, you can actually do it in different ways, too.
Yeah, well, tell us another way.
You can watch shadows moving from, I mean, you can make your own. Sundials have been made of different things for centuries, you know. I mean, the earliest ones were just tall, you know, statues that would set a shadow on the ground. And so you can, that is considered a sundial. So mm-hmm. you can watch time pass in different ways. You don't have to be as accurate as a sundial.
Right. Right. But it's a fun thing to do. It is a fun thing to do. I love sundials. So what is your favorite project?
Oh, it depends on who I'm with. I just last week worked with some nursery school teachers, and we did a project as a kind of a workshop for them that is really easy for smaller kids. And that is in my book, and it's called Seed Bombs. And that's a fun project because you get
messy. I love Seed Bombs. Yeah, tell
us
about
Seed Bombs. Yeah, they're very fun. So all it is, it's super easy and really fun with smaller kids or grown-ups. It's just a mixture of soil and clay and water and wildflower, local wildflower seeds. And it's really, honestly, it's not a really specific mixture. You kind of just wing it. But it's very simple, and you basically make little small meatballs, and then you dry them and then eventually toss them into places where they'll grow.
Isn't that fun? I love that. So we need to take another break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Marcy Cuff, author of This Book Was a Tree. If you'd like a free copy, please go to Toxic Free Talk Radio. And not everybody's going to get a free copy. I'll choose somebody at the end of the hour. So just go send me an email with the contact form, and you might be the winner. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Marcy Cuff, author of This Book Was a Tree, Ideas, Adventures, and Inspirations for Rediscovering the Natural World. And there certainly are ideas, adventures, and inspirations. This book looks like so much fun that I feel like that I would just like to, as an adult, and I don't even have any kids, to take on this adventure with me. But it's just something that you could just start at the beginning and go outside, and you could gather some kids, you could gather some friends, you could invite people to a workshop, and everyone can have a book and you could do it together. Or it's something, I mean, it really is a very good outline of ways to get your attention back on the natural world and see that it's there. And I think that there's so many people who don't even see it. And how can we take care of something that we don't know? Marcy, so how do you think we got so far off track that even 100 years ago, people were very oriented to nature and very oriented to growing their own food and things like that, that they really, it was a very hands-on experience of making the stuff of life out of nature that was right around you. And now we don't do that at all.
Well, I guess, honestly, I feel like maybe it started with supermarkets. We used to raise all of the things that we ate in our backyard. Or
right, we did.
Traded with our neighbors, and then supermarkets, you know, were more prevalent. And so I think that people kind of started to forget where their food came from first. And so I mean, it's certainly more simple. So, and then we started working more and, you know, away from the land. And so I think that's probably, in my opinion, where it all started.
I think about, as I mentioned before, you know, the people think that if you're going to have soup that you just open a can. But it's actually, I'm really encouraging people, like I have a food blog on my site, and I'm really encouraging people to learn how to cook, because even if you didn't eat organic or didn't eat local or didn't eat, you know, just the act of moving away from processed foods and just to fresh foods is a huge step. When I moved here to Florida, I come from California, from the San Francisco Bay Area. And when I moved here to Florida, I was astonished at how many women I was meeting did not know how to cook, that their food was coming from takeout and packages, and they really didn't know, like, how to slice a tomato. They really didn't. And people started asking me to give cooking lessons. And I thought, you know, this is just a skill we need to bring back, because it's a very different experience to go out in your backyard and pick warm tomatoes off the vine and make them into something delicious. And even if you don't have that tomato plant in your backyard, to go to a farmer's market or even buy fresh tomatoes at a natural food store that are organic, it's a completely different experience than eating a packaged food. And I know that I feel a lot more connected to nature just having my hands on the food and appreciating those plants and animals for giving me nutrition.
Having a connection with what you eat is really important. I think that most of us eat just out of habit without really thinking about what we're putting into our bodies. And so I think that considering what you eat and you drink, or the origins of the food, is, or where it was packaged, or keeping track of kind of what you put into your body is really important. So, I think that it's also kind of interesting if you just kind of keep track of, just for one day, the ingredients of a product that you eat, you know, just kind of just taking all of the, just thinking about every single thing that you put into your body and just keeping track of what exactly is going into you, you know. So,
And where is it coming from?
Yeah, where is it coming from? Yeah, and eating seasonally is really important. I think that once we have supermarkets, we kind of forget that.
A lot of the
products that we find in our supermarket don't come locally. You know, they come from really far away. And so, you know, produce has a season. You know, things that we buy, they actually, unless they are coming, you know, they really do have seasons. You should be paying attention to the season of a product.
You know, it's, as a child, my birthday is in June. And so I always had strawberry shortcake for my birthday cake, because suddenly there were strawberries, and that we would go looking for the first strawberries as a family. We lived near in the San Francisco Bay Area. So down the coast in Monterey, they would grow strawberries, and we would go down to Monterey so that we could get the first strawberries, because we love strawberries so much. And that was a family trip. And so I had a real sense of the seasons growing up with food, because at that time, it was before they started shipping things in from all over like they do now. And you couldn't get a watermelon or a strawberry or any of those red peppers or anything unless it was summertime. And I remember when we lived in California, my ex-husband loved bananas. And I would say, no, you can't eat them because they don't grow here. I was really trying to, like, really eat only what grew in my bioregion. And so then we moved to Florida, and there's banana trees in everybody's backyard, including mine. And I said, okay, eat all the bananas you want. But it's
we have a very small backyard, but we do have a community garden that we are really actively involved in. And even if you don't have that, you can grow sprouts in your kitchen very easily. And that's something that is basically like harvesting. It's like a little garden, and that's something that you can grow all year round. So that doesn't have a season. You can grow sprouts that are really healthy for you, and they are super easy just in a regular mason jar. And that's a simple project that I have in the book too. That's very easy to do, and you don't need to have a green thumb.
I love growing sprouts. It's so fascinating to me to watch something grow from a seed. And in a sprout jar, you can see that happening. It's not like the seed is underground where you can't see it. And I also, for a while, we had chickens that were laying eggs in our backyard, and until the police came and took them away because they're illegal where I live. It was when I got that first egg from the chicken, and I just went into the chicken house, and there it was just sitting there. I went, oh my God, an egg. And that I knew that I had fed the chicken and that they had eaten grass, just right, my organic grass in my backyard and things like that. I knew what had gone into that egg, and it was the product of my local backyard and my kitchen scraps and stuff. And then I ate that egg, and it was like this real sense of knowing where my food was from and that I had participated in that. And it's, you know, connecting with nature is just, it changes your perspective a lot.
Yeah, I feel like just reconnecting with with the natural world and slowing down and looking at our relationship with what's outside. What we contributed to it, it's really important.
Well, we only have just a few minutes left. So is there anything else that you'd like to talk about that we haven't covered?
Oh, well, the only thing I can think of is advice for people to just to get outside and move away from your comfort zone and kind of get away from a screen and sit still outside and pay attention to what's going on around you.
Excellent advice. Excellent, excellent. And you will see a change. You will notice the world in a different way. Thank you so much, Marcy, for being on the show. Thank you for writing this book. I certainly am going to have fun with it, and I hope a lot of my listeners do as well. Thanks for being with me today.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You're listening to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, and you can go to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, the first thing that you should do is scroll down the page and send me an email that you'd like to be one of the people in the drawing for a free copy of Marcy's book. But also, there are other things on the page. You can go to the top of the page, and there's other parts of my website. If you click on shop, it will take you to Deborah's List, and where you'll find over 500 different websites that sell toxic-free products. Many of them are very connected to nature and how they're made, with organic things and just right close to nature. There are many of the products are that way. Many are handmade. Many are things that you can find in local stores. And then if you click on Q&A, you can ask a question. You can ask a question and I will answer it and my readers will answer it, and they're very, very knowledgeable. There are probably 10 years worth of questions on there. There's thousands of questions and thousands of answers. And then if you click on Body Detox, that's my blog, where all we talk about on that blog is how to remove toxic chemicals from your body, because everybody does have toxic chemicals in their body, and everybody needs to remove them in order to have good health. There's been many studies where they test the blood of people, of newborn babies have toxic chemicals in their bodies. So this is a very important subject. If you click on food, you'll get to my food blog, where we talk about how to cook healthy things. And I also have a little, last one is nature. And that's where I talk about how we can reconnect with nature. You've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.